Very nice.
In the Chumash, the expression appears several times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he gave Bnei Yisrael Torah Osoi. My Torah is in the plural. The Gemara understands that this is a reference to the two Torahs, the Torah Shebichsav, as well as the Torah Shebal Peh. How did the Chachamim know that it's a reference to the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh? Maybe it's a reference to the different parts of the Torah. Like we know from the Vilna Gaon, the Talmid HaGra quotes from the Vilna Gaon a comment on the Pasuk in Chumash. It says in the Parsha of Zok and Mamu, says he gave Bnei Yisrael Torah Osoi. My Torah is in the plural. The Gemara understands that this is a reference to the two Torahs, the Torah Shebichsav, as well as the Torah Shebal Peh. How did the Chachamim know that it's a reference to the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh? Maybe it's a reference to the different parts of the Torah. Like we know from the Vilna Gaon, the Talmid HaGra quotes from the Vilna Gaon a comment on the Pasuk in Chumash. It says in the Parsha of Zok and Mamre, there'll be a machloikis among the rabbonim in a small community, and they can't come to a conclusion. So it says the kamtali alisa alamokim, they should go to the Beis Hamikdash and ask the Bez Nagodol. Whatever psak the Bez Nagodol gives is binding, and no one's permitted to paskin against them. Whoever paskins against the Bez Nagodol is chayiv misa, even if the issue that they're fighting about is tzitzis of filling. There's no misa in the whole issue, but the chutzpah of a rav, the paskin against the Bez Nagodol, deserves an einish misa. So the pasuk uses an expression that the machlokes can be in any area of halacha, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega. So the Talmidei HaGra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, and as well as the Bnei HaGra, the children of the Vilna Gaon, quote this in the Hakdomeh, to the Bi'ur HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, that the expression that the Chumash uses, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, covers all areas of halacha. Dam ledam is the area of Issa Vehetta, din ledin means dini mominis, that's mominis, and nega lenega is Tumah V'Tara. And these are three distinct areas of halacha, namely, that the Gemara has a klal, usually we are dana ma matzina mi din echad l'chaveiro. If you have a din in one place in Chumash, so we assume that the din applies to all other cases that are similar. Let's say, for example, it says by Shem V'Regel in Parshas Mishpatim that if my behemah causes a hezek, you have to pay mate of sadeh, mate of karma, yishalim. There are three kinds of karka, the zidis, beninis, and ziburis. So the halacha says that the nizik is entitled to collect from idis. So is this din of idis only applicable to Shem V'Regel? So the Gemara says, no, all the choptah of the nizik can you collect from idis, mate of. Because the pasuk is written over here and applies all over. Unless you have a svar lachalik, but if there's no svar lachalik, that's called a mamatzinu. You assume that it's the same in kol ha-tarikulo. For example, it says by the Mishkan that the karshe ha-mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made were made from wood. Atishitim omdim. What does it mean omdim? It was kederach gedilosam. The boards of wood were standing upright the same way the trees grew. They didn't have the boards sideways and they didn't have them upside down. It had to be the part that was towards the ground was on the bottom, and the part that was growing up higher was on top. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk, whenever you need a natural item that grows from the ground, it has to be kederach gedilosam. So that's how we know that when we shake the lulav and yesrig, everything has to be held kederach gedilosam. You learn whenever there's a pasuk anywhere in the Chumash, we assume that that din applies in kol ha-Torah kula, unless you have a svar l'chalik. So the Gemara says there are certain restrictions that you can't learn out one din from the other. So the Gemara has one limitation, one restriction is Issa mituma lo yafina. The Tumah V'Tara and Issa V'Hetra are two different areas, and you cannot learn one from the other. Issa mituma lo yafina. Then there's another Gemara, Brachas on Daf Chav, so the Gemara says that Issur mimamloina lo yafina. That Dini Mamlinis is one area of Halacha, and Issa V'Hetra is a different area of Halacha. So you cannot derive, you can learn out from Mamlinis to Mamlinis. Like all the Choftal, the Ravis Nizik, and Pei Meitav, that's you're learning out. All the other 23, all the other 22 Ravis Nizik, and from Shem V'Regel. The original Pasuk from Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kami Yisham, is only by the two, by Shem V'Regel. And the other 22 Ravis Nizik, and I'll be right with a Mamatim. You can learn out Tumah from Tumah, one Dinam of Tumah from another Tumah. All the Dinam of Tumah fit into one system. All the Dinam of Issa V'Hetta fit into one system, one big pattern. We learned that the Esrig and the Lulav have to be held kederach di losam, and the Karshei HaMishkan. This is all the area of Yisra Heter. All Yisra Heter fits into one big system and it has to be a pattern. And if there's a din in one case, it applies to all the other cases. But you cannot learn out Yisra Mituma Lo Yafinan and Yisra Mimamana Lo Yafinan. Because Mamanis is one area, that's one system, and Tuma Vitar is another system, and Yisra Heter is the third system. So one could have argued the point and said, when the Chumash refers to Torah Soi, when the Rabban Shalom says you should observe all the Toros in the plural that I gave you, which Toros is a reference to all the three areas of the Torah. He said the Heter, Tumah V'Tare, Dini Mamonis, how did the Chazal know that it's a reference to the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh? So the answer is because there's a Mefurish, a Pasuk in Chumash that speaks of the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. The Pasuk is in the end, the Parshas Kisisa, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu, Ksav L'chos Hadvarim Ho'ele, Ki Alpi Hadvarim Ho'ele Karati Yitcha Bris Ves Yisrael. So the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is, the Rabban Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Aseres Adibus. And after he gave the Aseres Adibus, he says, now I'm going to dictate more. I'm going to dictate a whole Chamishu Chamshi territory. I'm going to give you a whole text of Torah Shebichtav. It's going to include the Aseres Adibus plus much more before that and after that. It's going to have a lot more. So he says, "Sov l'chos advarim ha'ele, sit down and start writing." Ki al pi advarim ha'ele, because this is going to be the text of the Krisis Bris Karat Heit Chavis Reis Yisrael. That's the pasuk shot. So the Chachamim in the Gemara, the Chacham had a tradition that the pasuk means something else. "Sov l'chos advarim," the word ha'ele is a miyut. Only these and not those. "Sov l'chos advarim ha'ele," you should only write down the Torah Shebichtav. Ki, the word ki mishamish bedalad l'shoynes, Rashi writes on Chumash that the word ki has four different meanings, and some of the four different meanings are four different meanings, that means more than four different, Rashi himself gives more than four different meanings. So sometimes the word ki means the opposite of because, like we have the pasuk, tuv tamid aslam deini, ki b'mitzvei secha ha'amonti. What does it mean? So the Meiri and other mefarshim on that pasuk interpret that, I think it's in Mishlei, no? Tuf Tamad Aslam Deni Kibim Mitzvah, was it in Tillim? It's in Tillim, yeah. So the Miri and Mishlei interprets this passage in Tillim. So he says, David HaMelech requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explain, I have Emunah in the Mitzvah, so I'm going to do the Mitzvah anyway. But explain to me what the background, explain to me the reason for the Mitzvah. Tuf Tamad Aslam Deni, despite the fact, Ki, the Mitzvah Secha Emunah, despite the fact that I have Emunah, I'm going to do the Mitzvah anyway. It's not that I'm strashing you, that if you don't explain to me, Rabbi Shalom, if you don't enlighten me as far as the reason for the mitzvah, I'm not going to do the mitzvah. I'm going to do the mitzvah anyway. So he says that the word ki, sometimes in Tanakh, has the opposite meaning of ki, because. Usually we think of the word ki, this and this, because of that. But sometimes it means despite the fact. Well, you have the Ibn Ezra has like that on the pasuk in Kisisa. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgot the pasuk. He should, Rabbi Shalom should be with us. Ki, oh yeah, I forgot that pasuk. Kiyam kishiyarefu. Rabbi Shalom should be with us. Kiyam kishiyarefu means despite the fact that we are kishiyarefu. It doesn't mean because we are kishiyarefu. So that's the reason why he should be with us. No, despite the fact that we are kishiyarefu. So that's how the Gemara understood this pasuk also. Ksav l'cha, the Gemara understands the word ha'ele is a diuk and it's a miyuk. Ksav l'cha sadvarim ha'ele, should only write down the Torah Shebichtav, not write down the Torah Shebaalpeh. Why should you write down the Torah Shebichtav? How important is it? So it says, ki, despite the fact, alpi hadvarim ha'ele, again, the word hadvarim ha'ele is a diuk and a miyuk. And alpi has the connotation of Torah Shebaalpeh. Despite the fact, alpi hadvarim ha'ele karati t'chabis v'es Yisrael, Dik increases this with the Jewish people that singles out the Klal Yisrael. We are the Amanifcha, is really on the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's how the Gemara in Gittin says on this pasuk. Lakaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael, El Al Torah Shabbat Peh. Because the Torah Shabbat is open to the public. The pasuk says when Yeshua was drank the commentary, he saw the end of Chumash Dvarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command Yeshua that they should establish stones, 12 stones in Gilgal, and they should write the whole Kalat HaRukula by a Hekad in translation. What are they writing Kalat HaRukula in translation? So the Gemara says in Saita, in Perek Elan Amorim, that all the Yomis Ha'olam, all the Goyim who live in Eretz Canaan should come, and they should see what it says in the Chumash. That's open to the public. Torah Shebichtav is open to the public. The Gemara says you're not permitted to teach Torah to the Nochrim, so the Mefarshim assume that that only refers to the Torah Shebaalpeh. Some say it refers to the Tzoidus of the Torah Shebal Peh, but the Parsha Pshat Nister Kabbalah. But the Parsha Pshat is that it refers to all of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichzad, you can give a Bible and translation to Anocher, but you can't give him a Bible with a Sansino, or with an art scroll commentary on the bottom of the page. That has all Torah Shebal Peh. Can't give him a Rashi. Rashi always quotes Torah Shebal Peh. You can only give him a Torah Shebichzad. So the uniqueness of the Klal Yisrael is because we have the Torah Shebal Peh, and the Yom Yisraelim only have the Torah Shebichzad. So that's how the Chazal read the pasuk. Torah soy, whenever it says in Chumash. So the Gemara says in the end of Shavuot, it's a reference to the two Torahs of Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebal Peh. Where does it say anywhere in Chumash that there are two Torahs? Maybe Torah soy means Isura Mamayna and Tumah Vetara. So the answer is no, because they had this pasuk. Sov lecha sadvar meila, write down only the Torah Shebichzav. The Gemara says, you're not permitted to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. And ki alpi advar meila, this he means, despite the fact, al pi advarim ha'ele, that karati itchabris v'yisrael, despite the fact that it increases bris, that singles out the uniqueness of the klal. So we have something that the other umasalim don't have. What is that? That's the Torah Shebal Peh. So despite the fact that it increases bris is on the Torah Shebal Peh, the Baruch Shalom still wants that there should be a Torah Shebichzav.
Where of this issue?
It's going to be a problem. The art scroll has a standing order from the Vatican. Every time they put out another volume of their Shas in translation, they send 17 volumes to the Vatican. What are they going to do? They're going to tell them, we can't send you Torah Shebal Peh. It's going to be a problem. In America, they can probably arrest them for discrimination. You have a store, and they're not going to sell a Gemara to a Goy. But the din is that you're not allowed to. The halacha says that you're not permitted to. That is a big problem. Okay.
But the Goy has a breda to get it from somebody else. So he may not be responsible.
If the only one he can get it from is a Jew,
right.
So then it's going to be Lifnei Iver. If
right.
He can get it from a non-Jew, so then there's no Lifnei Iver if the Jew gives
right.
it. Because that's called Bechadei Vinanar. He can get it by somebody else. But if all the somebody else's are all Jews, then Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He quotes a Mishnah Melech who has a Tosfos and Chagiga like that. That that's not called Chadei Vinanar. The Gemara says there are two kinds of Lifnei Iver L'Sitim Mikshol. Lifnei Iver L'Sitim, the real din Lifnei Iver L'Sitim Mikshol is if a Nazir wants to drink some wine, and the wine is on one side of the river, the Nazir is on the other side of the river. A Nochri wants to eat Eivim and Achai. So the Gemara says, Lifniver is either to a Jew or to a Goy. It doesn't make a difference. A Jew wants to eat Chazen. So if the Chazen is on one side of the river, and he's on the other side, that's called Trey, Ivri, Denara, two sides of the river, and I am enabling him to do the Aveira, that's called Lifniver the Sita Mirsha. But
right,
if it's Bechad Iver and Narif, they're on the same side of the river, so then there's no Lifnei Iver there, right? So that's the Gemara. So then Tosfos points out, but there is an Issa de Rabbanon, if, even if it's Bechad Iver and Narif, I'm a waiter. So, and I'm a butler in the fellow's home. And he says, can you please bring the ham from the kitchen? He can. It's all his ham. He bought it. He put it in the kitchen. So he can walk to the kitchen and eat the ham himself. So yes, to me, I should bring the ham from the kitchen to serve him. So that's called Chadei Vedanar, where he can, it already belongs to him, he can do the Aveira without me. So then the Gemara says, strictly speaking, there's no Lifnei Iver Deraisa, but Tosfos says there should still be a Misayei Deraisa Aveira. That's what we call a Lifnei Iver Derabbanan. So this Lifnei Iver Derabbanan, the Rosh points out, doesn't apply if the one who's doing the Aveira is a Nochri or a Mumer. He always eats Chazer. He's just not religious, period. So if he's a Mumer, a Yid is a Mumer, or if it's a Nochri, so then if it's Bechad Iver and Nara, then there isn't even Lifnei Iver Derabbanan. So there's a big machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, is it only called Chad Iver and Nara if the Goy owns it already? The Goy owns the Eid Menachai. Or the Nazir owns the bottle of wine. He owns it already. What if the Nazir doesn't own a bottle of wine? He has to buy the wine in a liquor shop. But there are many liquor shops in the community. I'm not the only liquor shop. So he comes into my store. The Nazir comes in and he wants me to sell him a bottle of wine. He wants to drink the wine. And I know he's going to do the Aveira, but even if I don't sell him the wine, he can buy the wine by someone else. So that's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and the Ramah is Mekel, that's also called Chad Iver Nara. Even though he doesn't have it yet, we're Mekel. In Yerideya, the Ramah writes about selling religious articles to a Christian, they're going to use it for their worship purpose. So the Ramah says the Jews were always in their best businesses, but they made a lot of money. So the Jews saw that you can make a lot of money by selling religious articles to the Catholics. So they went into that field also. Aye, but you're enabling them to do their
avodah zarah. They can sell animals on a certain date in the market on the day of the holiday because they got to perform
the avodah zarah. Right. So the Gemara says that's only if he can't get the animal. It's only if he doesn't have any animals, he can't get it by anybody else. But if he can get it anyway, even without me, so I'm permitted to make a few dollars on the deal. So that's not called lifnei l'sitka mirshon, because that's called chadi v'rinah. So that's how the Ramah paskens. It only going paskens like machlekes Rashi and Tosafot. I forgot who holds which way. Only going paskens the other way. That if the person doesn't have the object with which he's going to do the aver, even though it's easily available in another store, so they've only gone hold that that is lifnei, that's called treyer v'rinah, two sides of the river, because he doesn't have anything yet. Even though it's easily available. But the minig always was like the Ramah Lahokil, that whenever you can get it somewhere else, that's called the Chadiv in Anar. So Ramosha Feinstein quotes a Mishnah Lamelech, who quotes a Tosfos in Chagiga, Bamed Var Mamurim, if there's a, let's say there's a Nazir who's chalashing to buy some wine, and if he can't find any wine in New York City, he's not going to go to New Jersey. He's just going to drink some soda. Drink beer. Beer he can drink all he wants. Wine he's not allowed to drink. So let's say if all of the liquor shops in New York City are all owned by Jews, so someone's going to violate lifnei l'sitka mirshon, so that's called trei yevid enar. The nazir can't get to drink any wine unless the Jew is going to violate lifnei yevid. So that doesn't help the fact each one can say, he can buy the wine in another store. It doesn't help, the other store is also Jewish. All the liquor shops are Jewish, then it's not called trei yevid enar. It's only called trei yevid enar if there is another store that's owned by a non-Jew who doesn't have the Yisrael lift neither. So then all the Jews are permitted to be in the same line. Or let's say all of the rosaries or all the prayer books that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are going to use for their religious purposes, they're all sold by Jews. The whole market is cornered by the Jews. There are no non-Jews who are selling these things. Only the Jews are selling. So then one Jew or another is going to be a violation of lift neither. The only time you call it Chad Ibn Anari is if there's one non-Jew who can supply all the non-Jews with this Dovish Alavarizar. So then since they can buy it from someone without anybody violating this neighbor, so then the Jews are allowed to be in the same line also. Because we're not really enabling the guy to do the Aver. He could have done the Aver without us. Because there's one non-Jew who's selling it.
Obviously you have a heter of doing the Dvartere from the internet. And that is open to the public and that's to the going also. So what's the heter for that?
I mean, how can anyone ever put a Dvartere on the internet? A Nochri may pick it up.
Well, by Tyson, one will learn a lot tomorrow.
Yes.
He used to have in Yiddish. He started off in Yiddish, and most of the Nochrim didn't know Yiddish. There are some. But then he started learning a lot tomorrow in English, so then it was a big ASIC. So at that time, I think most of the Rabbanim assumed that it is Mutter, that he's catering to the Jews, and if a Nochri wants to do an Avera, if a Nochri wants to turn on WEVD on the Toy Shabbos and listen to
yeah,
the Blad Gemara,
I'm Messiah.
If the Nochri comes to me and he says he wants to plug in, he wants to hear Dibrei Torah, so then I shouldn't give him. But I'm teaching Torah to all the Jews who are interested, and then a guy comes in.
So it's not
a
Groma?
You can't say that that's Lifnei v'Lasita Mirshon. I'm teaching Torah to the Jews. Moshe Feinstein has such a tshuva about a Rebbe who's teaching in a yeshiva, in a day school, and the principal accepts the children into the day school who didn't have a proper conversion. Their mother had a reformed conversion, so the children are not Jewish. And the Rebbe's teaching Chumash and Rashi and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and everything, and one of the kids in the class is an Achri. So Moshe says, you can't call it Lifnei v'Lasita Mirshon, I'm teaching, the Rebbe's teaching to the children who are Jewish. The Rebbe's not interested in teaching to the non-Jew, but if the non-Jewish kid is going to say he needs a tutor, a private tutor, and the Rebbe should teach him one-on-one, so that's going to be an issue of teaching Torah to the Nochri. But if I'm teaching to a whole class of students, and some of them are Jewish, and I'm interested in catering to the Jewish children, so it's not my responsibility, it's not the Rebbe's headache, it's the Menahel's headache. It's not right that the principal should take in non-Jews into a day school. That's not right on the part of the Menahel. So that's his issue, but Reb Moshe says it's not the issue of the Rebbe. The Rebbe is permitted to teach Torah. So the same over here, you put Torah on the internet, and we hope that the Jews are going to pick up the Torah. We know that there are some non-Jews picking up the Torah as well, so what can we do?
The big issue on
And I think that's the topic. You can cut here with me either.
Documents that there were converted problems, especially the Russian Jews who come to know their history of students who learned for 12 years in yeshiva, and they find out that the grandmother was not Jewish based on the documents, and therefore you have all of these problems.
We have it in America too. Yeah, it's all over. It's all over the world. We never understood the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the end of Adius, I think, that Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come to Paskin any Shabbos, L'Letamiv, L'Letai, L'Lesav, L'Lahatir. He's just going to come to establish who's Jewish and who's not Jewish and who's a kohen, who's not a kohen. What's the Shabbos who's Jewish? So for so many generations, no one understood Pshat and Mishnah. Now we're Zeichet to understand Pshat. We're fortunate enough to understand how misfortunate, how unfortunate the situation is. That's what the Tanoim had a tradition. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to have to come to be Mevar, who's Jewish and who's a Kohen and who's a Levi and what Sheva they belong to. So that was a tradition that the Chachamim had on that Pasuk. Ksav lecha es advarim ha'ele, you should only write the Torah shebichsav, you shouldn't write the Torah shebalpeh. That's what the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Tmurah discusses, what was the heter to write down the Mishnayos. The historical machlokes in the Goyinim, and the machlokes in the Rishonim, and in the history books. When was the Mishnayos written down? When did they start to teach Mishnayos mitoch haksav? So the minority of opinions assumed that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who edited, there were a lot of Mishnayos that were floating around. They had the Mishnayos kedumos. Rabbi Tarfon tells Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon was an older contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Tarfon was telling over. He once made a mistake in Psak, and he felt he's going to be held responsible. He's going to have to make good. He's going to have to pay for it. So he said, Holcha chamorcha tarfen, I'm going to pay. Then Rabbi Akiva tells him, no, it's a toy bedvar mishnah, and the din does not fall. What's for toy bedvar mishnah? What kind of mishnais were there in the days of Rabbi Tarfen? The answer is there were mishnais. It wasn't the mishnais that were edited by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi as we have it. That's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's mishnais. But they had a smaller set of mishnais. They had things that were called mishnais at that time. Mishnah Rishayna, yeah. Mishnah Rishayna is usually an expression that we use when there was when the consensus in one generation was one way, and then the majority of the Rabbanim changed the Psak, which happened very often. So that's usually what we call Mishnah Rishayna as opposed to Mishnah Achrayna. But I don't think Mishnah Rishayna is the name of a work or anything. It just means an earlier Psak based on the consensus at that time, as opposed to a later Psak where the consensus changed and the Psak was reversed. That we always have. Yeah, that's what the Gemara said, right? So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi edited the Mishnayos as we have. So the Shaz, when he edited the Mishnayos, were they still reciting Mishnayos Baal Peh? And it was only written down to be learned B'toch HaKsav in the days of Avinu Rav Ashi. That's the majority opinion, both by the Achrayim as well as by the historians. Well, no, the minority opinion is that it was written down by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But whatever it is, the Gemara says it was, the Gemara records that the Mishnayos was written down. So the Gemara asks, how were they permitted to write down the Mishnayos? That's in violation of the din of Dvam Shebal Peh, Yatav Hashel Yom and Miksam. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Keslasus Hashem Efer Terasecha. Whatever that means, that's the question, what does that mean? It means Chatei Bishvil Shetiske, that you're allowed to do a small Aver in order to gain, to save the whole Torah. You're allowed to do... Aver Lishma, is that what it means? Or does it mean Rashi writes in the Mishnah in Perek HaRoya, when the Mishnah in the last Perek in Brochas quotes that Pasuk, Islas Lasham Efer Teresecha, so Rashi writes that it's permissible to do Dova Hanira Issa. It's permissible to do something that looks like it's an Issa, but it's not really an Aver. So Dachan Pashten, why is it not an Aver? When you write down the Mishnais and you write down the Gemara and you write everything down, isn't that exactly what you're not allowed to do? Okay, so you gotta understand why. How is it permissible to write it down? But I'll call upon him, that's what the Gemara says, that there is a din, the Dvam Shebichsav has to be you have to say Mitoch HaKsav, you're not supposed to say Baal Peh, and Dvam Shebaal Peh, you're not supposed to write down the Ksav. The Rishonim asked the question, we always say, we say Ashrei by heart when we daven Mincha, Ashrei is from Tanakh. Or that's from Tilim. We say Krishna by heart, that's from Chumash. We say by Chula by heart when you say Kiddush. We say a lot of things by heart. The Taisa says if it's Shkura Befiv is Mutter. So why is that Mutter? The Taisa apparently understands that the nature of the din that you're not allowed to say Dvarim Shebichtav Balpeh is a Chashash Shemayiteh. We're concerned he may distort the text. But if it's a famous psukim, so then we're not afraid the guy's going to distort the text. That's apparently what Taisa's all. The Vilna Gaon holds in his Bir Agro and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kriyashma, he likes the other answer that Taisa gives in Tzmura. Taisa in Yuma gives that answer, Shkur Rafi. Taisa in Tzmura gives another answer, and the Vilna Gaon says it's an Afanei Gemara in Tainus, like the other answer in Taisa. That this whole din of Dvarim Shebichtav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh is only Lehotzi Acherim Yidei Chayvasam. When you're learning Kriyas HaTorah, when you're learning Haftorah, so that has to be, Torah Shebichtav has to be transmitted to others Mitoch HaKtav. Because the pasuk that we learn it out from, Ksav L'chaz HaDvarim Ha'ela, Kati HaDvarim Ha'ela, goes about Moshe Rabbeinu transmitting the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. He should transmit the Torah Shebichtav Mitoch HaKtav, and he should transmit the Torah Shebaal Peh, Baal Peh. You shouldn't transmit the Torah Shebichtav Baal Peh. But if a person is saying Kriyashma for his own purposes, that's not a problem. If I say by Chulu in the Kiddush, I don't have to be moit to you with the Kiddush. I'm moit to you with the Brach of Kiddush. Chulu is a minig. Everybody says by Chulu. So you say, Hostin ish gizok by Chulu. It's not a question of being moit to the other one. There's no halacha that says you have to say by Chulu. You have a minig that before we start saying Kiddush, we say by Chulu. It's not an integral part of the Kiddush. The Kiddush consists of the Borpia Gophin with the reciting of the Brach of the Kiddush, not the Vechulu.
But it's only Kiddush Rabbah. The brach is only by Kiddush Rabbo, but by evening Kiddush, there is a Doraisa, which will say the words of
the Kiddush. Yes, the but Kiddush, the introduction of the Baikhulu, that's only a minute.
Oh, the Baikhulu.
Yeah,
oh.
That's only a minute that you say Baikhulu. So the one who recites Baikhulu by heart doesn't pose a problem. He can say for himself by heart, and he doesn't have to be might to the others with the Baikhulu. No one has to say Baikhulu. The meaning is that whoever is saying the Kiddush should introduce the Kiddush with Baikhulu, have to go Zach Baikhulu, without being right to the others.
Why don't you do it in
the reverse? Because
Allah said that it's not written,
it's not
written,
it's not written, it's not written, it's not written, it's not written, it's not written, it's not written, it's not written. Since Ruba Kukulai, that's Kovea, that it's considered as if he said the whole thing with Terech Aksav. Mistama? Just like you say, how come you can be right to Nikon Megillah? The answer is Ruba Kukulai. Right, so that's a question the Ritva raises. This Kula, that if Rov of the Megillah is Nichta, the Miut is missing, so you can lay it, is this only in the Megillah Sester because it's Nikris Higeris, and when a person sends a letter, every so often you leave out a letter, you leave out a word, and so on, you don't have to correct it. Just like in a personal, private letter, you don't correct it. Or should I say no, that this Kula, that Nichta Ruba is good enough, is true on all the Sifrei Nevi'im Uksuvim, with the one exception of a Chumash. We assume that Sefer Torah, Shachosar Isachas, is Psula. That's how the Rambam quotes from the Gurdim. That grad doesn't say in the Gemara either. The Gemara says Sefer Torah, Shachosar Yeriah Achas, ain't Korim Bo. It doesn't say Shachosar Isachas. But the Rambam writes like that from the Gurdim. We have a Sefer Torah, Shachosar Isachas, so it's possible. So the Samar Shanim say that halach of Shachosar Isachas only applies to Sefer Torah, because when Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the Sefer Torah, it says in the Chumash, in the end of Dvarim, he wrote everything from the beginning to the end, then he gave it to the Kohanim and Levi, and said they should put it in Samta Mosa B'Tzad Aram B'Ris Hashem. But that could be that that's only a special din in Sefer Torah, Chosar Isachas is Psula, but in all the Bim Ksuvim, the din would be by Ruba Kukula. That's a Shaila Adiun in the Ritva, whether it's a special din Akula only in Megillah because Nikras is Geris, or it's a Kula in all its Sifri HaTanach, with the exception of the Chamish Uchum Sheteru. No, Yiriyah means from one stitch to the other. So it usually has 4, 5, 6 columns.
Right.
So the Gemara in Gittin only says, Sefer Shechos Yiriyah Achas. I want to learn, let's say, Parshas Noso, and it's missing the whole Yiriyah in the end of Bamidbar. It's missing Noso, so I can't learn the whole thing about that.
A column of words is missing.
Not a column. That's an number. A whole section.
Section of like four.
Yeah. 4, 5, 6 columns is a Yiriyah. So that's all it says in the Gemara, Chasa Yiriyah, ain't Korimbo. But less than Chasa Yiriyah stands for the Gemara that it is good that you do say Ruba Kukula. So we don't follow that Gemara. Some Bali Ataisuris do pass like the Gemara, that there is no such thing as Chasa Raisachet. But we follow the Rambam quoted it from the Chuvas HaGoyim. that Sefer Torah Shechasar Aisachas is Truma. But that's the question, how does the Sefer Torah Chasar Aisachas, how does it stream with the Megillah Esther? That Chasar Ad Rubai is good. So that's the shayla, whether the exception to the rule is Megillah Esther, or the exception to the rule is the Sefer Torah. That's the deal.
You have to find the same reason you use the Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, that you can write down Torah Shabbat, but you can actually be Malama, you can't teach from, in a publicly written from written document. In other words, use it to yourself, and memorize whatever it is, and then give it over.
Right, that's what the Rambam writes in the Hagdomah to the Pirush HaMishnayis. He says they always had notes. Whenever the Rabbonim would give lectures, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu on, the students always kept private notes. That's called Megillah Storim. The Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos, other Masechtas refers to Megillah Storim. I saw the private notes of so-and-so. So the Megillah Storim, it was permissible to write the Torah Shabbat Peh, but it wasn't permissible to teach Torah Shabbat Peh like we do. We give a shiur from a Mishnayis, from a Gemara, from a Rambam, from a Shulchan Aruch, so we're using a text to transmit Torah Shabbat Peh. So we are, seem to be in violation of the din. So that's what the Gemara says, Es Lassus Hashem Lefer Torah Secha, whatever that means. So that's how the Vilna Gaon holds, that this prohibition is only violated, it's like based on that Rambam and the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis, as well as the Tosfos in Tmura, where Tosfos says it's only Lehotzi Acherim Midei Chayvosim, Kriyas HaTorah, you can't do Baal Peh. But to say Ashrei by heart, to say Kriyas Shema by heart, that's not a problem. Yishad is Maftir. The one who gets Maftir in most shuls, the common practice is the one who gets Maftir doesn't read from a klal. It doesn't read from a Sefer Shalom. He reads just from the Chumash and has only that Haftarah. So whenever you have, even if you have on a cloth, in some shuls they have a cloth, but it only has that Haftarah. So if it has less than a Sefer Shalom, so that's also Baal Peh. That's not called Mitar HaKzav. It's only called Mitar HaKzav if you have a Sefer Shalom, let's say it's from Hosea. So it has to have the whole Treyosa. If it just has the whole Hosea, it's also Tognish. Sefer Shalom means the whole Sefer from the Tanakh. So that's an issue. If the, so the Vilna Gaon reintroduced that the people who get maftir should learn from a klav, but didn't spread too far. In most of the shuls, they don't learn from a klav. So the Talmidei HaGro quote, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, when the one who gets maftir is learning from a klav, then no one should say along with him. They should be yotzei from the kriyat, like when the Baal Kori learns. So you listen to the Baal Kori for the parsha, so you listen to the Baal Maftir for the Haftarah. But if he's learning the Haftarah from a printed chumash, or from a printed Tanakh, it's less than a Sefer Shalom, then he says he can't be Moti Acher Medech Avosim, so everybody should say along with the Baal Maftir. He should say the brachas, everyone should listen to the brachas, and then what he says, like by the Hasidim, whoever gets Maftir mumbles it and everybody else says. So the Hasidim are following with only going. if they would only know, if they would only know. They clap al chet many times over, okay.
Is there any mileage from a whole Tanakh that many people do want, though, complete Tanakh?
The Morgan Avram quotes a Taz in Yeridaya, who's in Hilchos Sefer Torah, who quotes there is a Tosfos, there's one opinion in Tosfos in Perek called Kistvei, in Masechah Shabbos, where they say that the requirement for special cloth, parchment, and special ink, and it has to be written with Shema, with Tzuras Osios of Ksav Ashuras, this is only a Chumash. But in Vim Ksuvim, you don't need all that. So as long as they have a Sefer Shalom, even if it's printed, it's called Mitar HaKsav. So that's what many Amahadir, a person gets maftir, so instead of reading from a Chumash, he'll go get a Sefer Yirmiyahu, he'll get a Sefer Yishai, get a Sefer Treyosar. So according to the Taz in Yerideya, in the Magen Avraham, Hilchos Shabbos, and Reish Pei Beis, they claim that there's one opinion in Tosfos, that's where they interpret. There's one opinion in Tosfos that's called the Sefer Shom. So the Chazon Ish makes fun of that. And he thinks, the Rav Soloveitchik calls it, they think that that's a big joke. That a Sefer Shalom, even according to that opinion, a Sefer Shalom invoke Yehasen, if you have the whole Sefer Yirmiyah on one side of the paper, it's printed on one side of the paper, and all the papers are glued together. But we have on two sides of the page, and it's put together over here. So there's no continuation. You read here, then you read here, then you go here. So there's no Hemshah. The only time, instead of being a klav, parchment, with Ksav Ashuris, it can be paper, but it has to go weiter. You have to read everything on the same side. But the flip from the front to the back, from the front to the back, like modern books, like the way we go, so that's what the Chazon Ish and Rav Soloveitchik thought that was a joke. They thought that the opinion of Tosfos would never apply to such a case. But the Mogar Abam and the Taz thing is not a joke. So that's why many Amahadir Talayin from a printed Sefer Shalom.
Some places where one person just says the brachos, another person just says the haftarah.
The other one says the haftarah, what from a
can't do it.
From a printed.
Right.
The Mishnah Berurah says that you should only permit that one person gets the aliyah and he says the brachas, and someone else says the haftarah, not the same person. So you should only allow that if the fellow who's laying the haftarah is going to lay from a klap without the kudus and without drop, like kriyas haftarah. A person gets an aliyah, he says he's really supposed to lay it himself. So kadesh shalom levai shesmish any adaya hatanang gefiat. Taisa says you have a balkari who lays for everybody. So if you have a balkari who's laying from a klap the haftarah, so we would permit that. But if the guy's not going to lay, the balkari is not going to lay from a klap, he's going to lay from a printed. So give the aliyah of haftarah to somebody who knows how to read with the trup, who has the kudus and has the trup. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's not right. You shouldn't give mafta to a person who does know how to read on his own. And others later poskim disagree, and they say no, that is a good idea because a lot of people are going to kill the haftarah. A lot of people, not they're going to kill, they do kill. A lot of people kill the haftarah. So it's better to have kavua, better to have the balkari lane. That's what the Minchas Yitzchok writes like that. Better to have the balkari lane for everybody, even after, even though he's not laying from a klaf, in order not to kill everything.
But you are Yitzchok. If you don't eat from a klaf, according to everybody.
The Vilna Gaon, the Talmidei HaGra say, based on the Gra, that you're only Yotzei if the one who says the Haftarah is reading from a klaf, then he can be like everybody else in Dei Chavos. But if he's reading from a printed Chumash, then it's not a Sefer Shalva, it says Baal Peh. So then it's not right. He shouldn't be Yotzei the others. Everybody should say, yeah, he should have at least another 9 people say along softly the Haftarah with the Baal Mafta, because he can't be Yotzei the others, Baal Peh. Dram Shebichsav, he can only be Yotzei.
If 9 people lane with, then 100 people are Yotzei?
No, so you had a minion. The 100 people were yotzei in the sense that we assume, strictly speaking, that kriyas haftarah is only a chayvus hatzibur. It's not a chayvus hayachas. You have 100 people, and 90 people go to a kiddush club, and only 10 are listening to the kriyas haftarah, as is the practice in many synagogues, ultra-orthodox synagogues. So all the 100 people are yotzei the kriyas haftarah. Either didn't hear anything, they were drinking. So the answer is, but they saw to it that a kriyas haftarah took place. Those say it's a chayvus hatzibur. The tzibur saw, the 100 people saw to it that the kriyas haftarah took place. So they're all yotzei. Rav Chaim didn't like that idea. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Ramban and Megillah like that. The kriyas haftarah is only a chayvus hatzibur. The tzibur has an obligation to see to it that it should take place. That the event of kriyas haftarah take place. But all 100 people in the shul are not mechuyev to hear the kriyas haftarah. Rav Chaim didn't like that. He thought that it's a chayvus hayochid. Each and every person she has to participate in the kriyas haftarah. He has to hear. So that's the same shaila over here. If you have 100 people and 90 didn't say along, only 10 said along the haftarah. So it's usually assumed that the whole kriyas haftarah with the haftarah is only a chayvus hatzibur. So the 100 people were misadah, they saw to it that there took place a kriyas haftarah. So we assume it's good. If you hold that it's a chayvus hayochid, so the 90 people that didn't say along the haftarah weren't yaitzah the haftarah. If there's such a din, that you have to be yaitzah. That's the shaila. Is there a din that each person has to be yaitzah after? Oh no, the tzibur should see to it that there should take place a kriyas haftarah with a kriyas haftarah. So what do we have? What's the Torah Shebichsav? What constitutes the Torah Shebichsav? So originally, the only Torah Shebichsav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu was the Aseres HaDibros. And everything else was Torah Shebichsav. Then the Rabbi Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ksov Lachas Hadvar Ma'il, I'm going to start dictating to you. There's going to be a bigger Torah Shebichsav. So by the end of the Arboim Shon on the Midbar, so Vahika Chalas Moshe Lichtav is called Dibar Torah Zois, Atumam, he finished the whole Chamishu Chumshi Torah, so the Torah Shebichsav became bigger. Instead of just having the Luchas, the Aseres HaDibros, it was the whole Chamishu Chumshi Torah. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Originally the Rabbeinu Shalom told me to put the Luchas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because the Luchas was the whole Torah Shebichsav, that was all. But now, Vayikachalas Moshe Lichter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the whole Torah Shebichsav, Chamishu Chumshi Torah. So he gives this Torah to the Bnei Levi. He says, the Samta Moshe B'tar Aram Ris Hashem, he should put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim also. The Gemara in Bava Basra, in the first parak, has a Machlokes HaTanoim, not in the Masor, the Yoram with the Luchas. The Yoram with the Luchas wasn't around the whole Bai Sheni, and all the Tanoim who were discussing it were after the Bai Sheni, they weren't even there in the Bai Sheni. The Yoram with the Luchas was nignaz by Yoshio HaMelech towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon. He put it in the basement of the Beis Hamikdash, and none of the Tanoim saw it. So they had a machloikas, they're trying to imagine, they had a machloikas, where did they put the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, that's called the Sefer Azorah, where exactly was it? Was there a daf bolet? Was there a shelf that protruded on the outside of the Orin? And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Luchas was inside, and the Sefer Torah Shekos HaMoshe was on the shelf? Or did he put the Sefer Torah inside? The Tzad HaRam B'Ris HaShem means inside with the Luchas. So the Gemara Bava Basra has a machlokes in the first pair. Exactly where did he put it? So Moshe Rabbeinu said that now that the Torah Shebichsav became bigger, so they have to have more. Hashayla, after the days of Yoshio HaMelech was gone as the Luchas. Then the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah incorporated much more into the Torah Shebichsav. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah determined that we have 24 Svarim in the Tanakh. You have the Chamishachim Shetan, Yoshua, Shoftim, Malachim, Shmuel, so many more Svarim. So the Shaila is, maybe Lossid Lavoi. The Gemara says in the Doran, I think in the second paragraph in the Doran, the Gemara says, if the Jews would not have sinned, we would have only been given a Chamishachim Shetarah, the Sefer Yoshua, Mishum Kvodo Shal Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer Yoshua has lots and lots about the geography of Eretz Yisrael. So Mishum Kvodo Shal Eretz Yisrael, we would have only been given Sefer Yoshua, and the rest of the Nevi'im is only to give Tochach and Musa to the Bnei Yisrael. Jews are sinning, and they're always sinning, and the Rabbi Shalom sends Nevi'im to give Musa and Tochacha, but if he wouldn't have sinned, it would have only been Yeshua B'nun. But Lamaise, he did sin. So you have so much more in the Tanakh now. So as Hashanah, let's say, Lasid Lava, when we're going to rebuild the third day Samigdash, when we're going to have the Oren HaKadosh, with the Luch, it's going to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we're just going to have a Sefer Azorah that's just going to consist of the Chamishu Chum Shedera, or we're going to have a whole Tanakh. Maybe since after the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah determined, after they established that Kisvi HaKodesh, Torah Shebichsav includes Nevi'im and Ksuvim also, and the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there's going to be an institution of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim three parts. It's not an invention with the Rabban. The Gemara learns it out. Gemara Megillah learns it out from the pasuk in the end of Bishalach. Ksov Zos, Zikaron Vasefer. So the Gemara says Zos refers to Chumash, and Zikaron refers to Nevi'im, and Vasefer refers to Ksuvim. So the Gemara had a tradition on that pasuk that it's supposed to be a three-part Araisa Telisa. The Gemara refers to the three parts of the Torah. Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim was given to the Jewish people that has three parts, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, and the third month, the Nisan Yer Sivan, and so on. The Gemara speaks about the fact that the Torah Shebichsav has three parts. So I'm just wondering to myself, maybe Los Elavim, when we'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have to have the Aron with the Luchas. Not only will we have to have a Sefer Torah there, Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a Torah, because at that time that was the whole Torah Shebichsav. Then maybe Los Elavim, we're going to have the whole Tanakh, because now the Torah Shebichsav consists of more. There is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raavad, what's going to be with the whole Tanakh? Is it going to last forever? Or is it only a Hayra Shah that there's a whole Tanakh? So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchas Megillah, he quotes a Yerushalmi, Mekol HaSvarim Asidim Lehibotom, that the Mosha Mashiach, there isn't going to be any Tanakh. We're only going to be left with Megillah Esther and the Chamishu Chum Sheter. He'd probably be left also with Sefer Yoshua. The Gemara says if the Jews wouldn't have sinned, they would have only been given Sefer Yoshua, Mishum Kvodu Shal Eretz Yisrael. And then Megillah Esther, the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi, learns that in the Pasuk Megillah Esther. So according to the Rambam, Lasid Lavad, there's going to be a Tanakh, but it's not going to have 24 Svarim. It's going to have the Chamishu Chum Sheterah. Then it's going to be one volume in Nevi'im, Yoshua. There's going to be one volume in Ksuvim, one Sefer in Ksuvim, Megillah Esther. So still, the Raavad disagrees with the Rambam. Raavad says, there's no Sefer that's going to be bottle, and what the Yerushalmi means, Lasid Lavad, Kol HaSvarim Asidim Lebottle, means we won't be learning so much from them, because no one's going to be sitting, and we won't need all of this Musa. So we won't need it, but it's still going to be Torah Shebichsav. So I just wonder, Lasid Lavoi, and they're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll put the Oren back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, he should put the whole Sefer Torah next to the Oren, the whole Torah Shebichsav, so maybe Lasid Lavoi will have to have a whole Torah Shebichsav with the whole Tanakh, according to the Rambam, shorter form of Tanakh, HaMishuchim Shetorah, just with Yoshua, and Megillah Esther, and according to the Rabbi, the whole Tanakh, all the 24 Sifrei HaTanakh.
Wouldn't they
actually
reinstall the Aron that
Yoshua
hid? That would have only the old version.
Yes, and the Sama will have to have that, plus we'll have to add on. I'm wondering, just like Moshe Rabbeinu added on, because more was added on to the Torah Shebichsav. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah added on more to the Torah Shebichsav. They were authorized to. They were authorized based on the Pasuk, so Zos Yikaron Vasefer, has to be on Araisa Telisa. So according to the Raivid, the whole 24 Svarim of the Tanakh maybe will be there. According to the Rambam, in abridged form, the whole Nevi'im will only consist of Yeshua. The whole Ketuvim will only consist of Megillah Esther. So the Chayyim should have the whole Tanakh there.
What about the historical sequence? I mean, Malachim Aleph, Shmuel, and Shochan. It's history. It's not all Kochacha. That's just going to be wiped away.
The Rambam says they're all going to be lost. No, that's a problem. The Gemara says if not for the fact that the Jews sinned, we would have only been given Sefer Yeshua. So it means everything else is just for the sake of Tochacha. So you're asking, where do you have Tochacha in Shmuel and Malachim? There's no Tochacha there. In the other Nevi'im, you have a lot of Musa. Where do you have Musa there? Unless you should assume that it keeps on saying, Vayaso Harabi Eni Hashem, they were worshipping Abed Zorah. So is that the Tochacha? But it doesn't say that the Nevi'im came and they bopped them over the head. It doesn't give what the Tochacha was. Tochacha is just the story itself, is the Tochacha? I don't know. It's a good question.
The history book is the
question. Right. But it seems in the Gemara that it's the history is given l'shem Tochacha. Yeah. That is his correspond. Yeah, the Gemara says that it's supposed to be Tochacha. It's problematic. I don't know. The Gemara seems to say that nothing else would have been given. So it sounds like Ksuvim is also problematic. Much of the Ksuvim is not Tochacha. Shir b'shevach v'hi doya takarish baruch hu, limud, all kinds of things. Dibre chochma. I don't know. What's takar pshat in the Gemara in the Dorn? I don't know. That is a problem. Just regarding the Chamish Ulchem Shetorah, we always assume that they're Chamish Ulchem Shetorah. The Gemara in Shabbos has a machlokes hatanoim. Is it really so? And we pass no halacha is not so. There are not far. There are seven. We assume la'alocha that Bamidbar consists of three svarim. The first third of Bamidbar is up to Nishkan fifth. We should really call it something else. It's a carryover. The expression Chumash is a carryover from the other Tana whose opinion is not accepted la'alocha. Because we Paskin, the Gemara says it did. We assume, normally between one safe and the other you have four empty lines between Bereshis and Shmos, between Shmos and Vayikra. You have four blank lines here. Before Behemoth Sahara and after Benucha Yom, you don't have four blank lines, but you have the Nunim Hafuchim. Mm-hmm. So it's a Machlekes Hatanaim, what does that represent? So we assume that it represents a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai, because the Mishnah is saying, Yodayim, the Gemara has Sugyas in the Perek called Kisvei Masecha Shabbos, that Kisvei HaKadosh Sefer is Nimchak, it still retains the status of Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh, that if you touch it, it's Mitamei Zaydan. You can't learn from it. It's Nimchak Rubai, you can't even learn from the Megillas Esther, if it's Nimchak Rubai. But if it has Yesh Bo Lalakra, it's Pei Hei Oisir. Even if Rubai is Nimchak, the Rub of the Sefer is Nimchak, it still retains the status of Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh, that if you touch it, it's Mitamei Zaydan. You can't learn from it. It's Nimchak Rubai, you can't even learn from the Megillas Esther, if it's Nimchak Rubai. But if it has Yesh Bo Lalakra, it's Pei Hei Oisius, if it has 85 letters in it, so then it retains the status of the Sefer. Where they get the magical number 85? So the Gemara says, because Ahim Tzohar, the Menucha Yonmar, is a Sefer Bifnei Atzma, and that only consists of 85 letters. They see that the smaller Sefer in Tanakh, that's the smaller Sefer in Tanakh. Gemara says, the smaller Sefer in Tanakh consists of 85 letters. So you see that that's the accepted opinion on Lachal HaMaisa, that Ahim Tzohar is a Sefer Bifnei Atzma, even though it doesn't have the four lines before and the four lines blank after. It just has the nunum hapuch. So that's a bit of a problem, why we still use the lashon of chumash. Yeah.
So why is not a lot of that an aliyah has to have at least three psukim? I mean, we see that there's a sefer, a whole sefer that has only two psukim. So shouldn't an aliyah be less than three psukim at all?
It's an interesting din. The halacha is that aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, and the whole Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. Even though Kohen Levi Yisrael, each one gets three times three should be nine, so the halacha says, no, somebody has to get four psukim, so you should add up to the sum total of 10. So what is that all about? So I remember once Rav Soloveitchik gave a Yahrzeit Rasha, he said a very fascinating idea, and I wondered, where did he invent this from thin air? Where did he get this idea? Then, 40 years later, I found that they printed a Ksav Yad from the Bali HaTosfos. The Bali HaTosfos say like that. He said very snazzy, that's why I thought he invented it on the spot. He said that sometimes they'll have a parsha that says, Vadav Hashem Moshe Lech, Ksav is going to Yisov Yamart Aleim. You read two psukim and you still didn't even scratch the surface. You don't even know what the topic is. Because sometimes you'll read two psukim, you didn't even begin the topic, you don't even know what you're talking about. So that's why they made a takana that any given aliyah has to consist of a minimum of three psukim, at least you should begin the topic. And why do you have to have a minimum of 10 psukim for the whole Kriyas HaTorah? To complete the topic. Because sometimes you have longer parsha, sometimes you have a parsha that's more than 10 psukim, but at least if you will have lain 10 psukim, you will have already completed a big chunk of the topic. So he explained, that's why the Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi that on Purim morning, the laning is Vayava Malik only has nine psukim. And each Oyla Latar only gets three psukim in his aliyah. Three times three is nine. So Tosis raises the issue, what do you do? Are you have to have ten psukim? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes one opinion from Tosis that by Shlishi you lane over the last pasuk twice. So you make it four. You get four psukim. You lane one pasuk twice. It's four. So it's 10 psukim, and we don't follow that practice. We follow what Tosis quotes in Yerushalmi, that since it's shalom in yonah, since the whole topic is completed, then 9 psukim in ginuk. So why is that so? Why is shalom in yonah say so? He explained, because the whole reason why they made a takana that every aliyah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim is because normally if you 3 psukim is needed at least to begin the inyan, and 10 psukim is needed to complete chach, a big chunk of the inyan. But if you already completed the whole inyan, a 9 psukim is shen good. You don't need the whole purpose of the 10th pasuk. It doesn't apply in this case.
But you read it over.
Our practice is we don't read it over. We don't read it over. There are those who follow the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Baal HaTos, you read over the last pasuk. But we follow the other, like the Yerushalmi, that you don't read over.
For the reason that we can't talk him.
Yeah.
Not because it's necessary for the subject.
Yeah, no, it's not. We already finished. The whole story of our mother is finished in 9 psukim. So it's a shali minyani. You finished everything. So there's no need for 10 psukim. The whole reason why they made a takan of 10 psukim is in order to finish an inyan.
But it's not mi'akev if you do 9.
It is mi'akev. So Allah is, let's say, they lengthy as I tell you, only gave 9 psukim, so you're not yotzei. So you have to gather everybody together and give another aliyah and make 10 psukim. Yeah, I think it is. I think we assume that it is likuvah. The 10 psukim, unless it's shalom in yonah, then it's not miyak. Then mikra din, you don't need a 10. So then we assume that historically there was a tkufa of Torah Shebichzav. That was until the days of Chag Eschai Malachi. The Seder Olam Zuta has such an expression. Seder Olam is a history book by the Tanna Rav Yosef ben Chalafta. The Gemara every so often quotes, in the Bam is other places, the Gemara quotes halachic statements from the Seder Olam, and assumes that this is Rabbi Yossi speaking, and he has authority. Rabbi Yossi is a Tara, Rabbi Yossi Mechalachim. So the Seder Olam has a lashon that Mishimeisu Chag Eschai Malachi Batla Nevuah Miyisrael. The Rabbanu Shalom told him this is the end. He's not going to give any more Nevuah. He didn't want to give Nevuah to Chag Eschai Malachi either, because he was angry why the Jews in Babel didn't want to return back to Eretz Yisrael. So he really doesn't want to give any Nevuah, but he can't build a Beis HaMikdosh without authorization from a Navi. The pasuk says l'shich nesidushu uvasa shama. So the Sifrei has a tradition on the pasuk l'shich nesidushu drosh api navi. Can only build a Beis HaMikdosh, even if the archaeologists can figure out all the locations and how thick the wall should be and where you should do everything. Still, even though you figured everything out, you still need the authorization of a Navi. So the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted very much to have a Bayisheni. So he had no Beris, they had to send Chagas Chaim Malacha. That's how the Gemara presented. Given the Vim Ola Imar Mibavo, the Gemara in Zvachim, and the Gemara says the reason why he sent these Nevim was in order to authorize the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and each one gave a Nevuah and another detail. So starting, so the Lashon of the Seder Elam is, Mishamesu Chagas Chaim Malacha, Batlo Nevuah Mi Yisrael. And then it says, Mikam Yelach Hat Oznucho Ushma Dibre Chachamim. You should pay attention to what the Chachamim say, that now is the Tkufa of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam has an interesting analysis of the different parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh in his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. So he writes there are different parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So he says, one part of the Torah Shebaal Peh is Halacha Moshe Mishinah, that the Tfilah has to be black and the Tfilah has to be square, and Arav Alam Mizbech, and Yisrael Hamayim, the whole bunch of halachas of Moshe Mishinah. Then he says another section of Torah Shebaal Peh is Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe Rabbeinu. It's not that you have a din mamish from nowhere. The tefillin has to be square. Mamish, there's no makor in the Chumash for this. The tefillin have to be black. Absolutely no makor whatsoever. There's no way to read it in between the lines either. That's called halacha Moshe Mishinah. A din that's transmitted from generation to generation that simply cannot be oizgekvetched at all. You can't read it in between the lines. No way to darshan it. That's called halacha l'moshe mishinah. Then you have another category that's called pirushim hamekubalim l'moshe rabbeinu. You have a pasuk that's vague. How to interpret it? The mikan zogin hazeh, mikan zogin fakir. So we have a tradition that this is the correct shot. So there's no room for a machlekes of Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. So mizol zogin hazeh, so mizol zogin fakir. We have a tradition that this is what it means. So it gives you a few mishalim, not too many. So the Rambam gives only two examples. He gives Ayin Tachas Ayin, he says there always was a tradition that that phrase is not to be taken literally, and that's why the Gemara in HaChovel has one time as of the opinion Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. So the Gemara says Mamish Talka Daita, how can it be that's impossible? Ela means the main Mazis as opposed to the main Mizis. But they get so excited, why can't it be Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish? The Tanoim arguing on every Pasuk in Chumash where the Pshat is A, a Pshat is B, so why can't they argue here? So the Rambam says no, there's no room to negotiate. This obviously was from the Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe Rabbeinu. They had an oral tradition that that's what the phrase means. Or similarly, the Rambam gives another pasuk, Kriyat Hodah. So he says, there never was a Machlekes HaTanaim, which fruit you use, together with the Hadassim and the Arabis and the Lulav. Everybody always used an Esrog. Different Tanaim stand on their head and they give different Ramazim. How do you know that Kriyat Hodah is referring to an Esrog? But bottom line, the Rambam says it has nothing to do with all the drushes that they made up of all Asmachtas. This was from the Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe Rabbeinu. That's how the Rambam says. Then the Rambam says...
Would that be like the argument real low with it?
Gemara Gemiri law is that the Netziv writes in his Hakdamah to the Shiltas, the Kamter on the Shiltas. He points out that there's a fundamental machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. So Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh, whenever the Gemara has an expression, Gemara Gemiri law, this is an old tradition, they'll always say it's halacha l'moshe mishinah. So that's why the Rambam has a very short list in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam says one section in Torah Shebaal Peh is halacha l'moshe mishinah. He says there aren't too many halachas l'moshe mishinah. I'm going to give you the whole list. He gives you a very short list. So the Chavis Yoyer has a famous tshuva on the bottom of the page in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the standard edition. They refer you, look in the tshuvas Chavis Yoyer. He says the Rambam left out half of the halachas l'moshe mishinah. He gives you what he considers a complete list, and it's missing here. So the Netziv points out, he says, all of the things the Rambam left out are what Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh call halacha Moshe Mishinah. The Rambam always writes, on those dinim, whatever it says, Gemara Gemiri Law, he says, Mipi Ashmua Lamdu. Means Gemara, the Rambam understood Gemara Gemiri Law means that this din was established many generations earlier, and the derivation was forgotten. But the bottom, the maskana was remembered. It's not, they don't think it's halacha l'moshe mishinah all the way back in oral tradition. They think it was established based on reading in between the lines, but they just forgot how it was established. So he thinks that that's how the Rambam translates. Every time he says Gemara Merula, the Rambam is careful not to write halacha l'moshe mishinah. He's always careful to write. And those are the ones that he left out from the list. And the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos says, he'll always write Mipi Ashmu Alam. It means that they established it at some time in history. And then the bulk of the Torah Shebaal Peh is the dinim that the Chachamim in every generation learned that by reading in between the lines. Here it's written Baloshin Rabbim and Baloshin Yochid is Molei and Chosir, a klal of Prat, Prat the klal, Davashoy b'klal, Yotzim and a klal. All of the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshet, them had to read in between the lines. to figure out all the details of the halacha. So that's the bulk of the Torah Shabbat Peh. This is really a big problem. This is what the Rambam calls Divrei Tochen, with his rabbinic input. On the halacha Moshe Mesina, there's no input. That's it. Moshe Rabbeinu said the tefillin have to be square and has to be black. And Shoy Nisach Nisach HaMayim Bechagin HaRov Al HaMizbeach, there's no rabbinic input. They're not inventing anything. Or if you have Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe Rabbeinu, the Rayin Tachas Ayin doesn't mean Kipshuto, and Priyay Tzadim means an Esrig, and a short list of additional ones that the Rambam doesn't mention over there. It's not such a... There's no room for input, but in the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh, where you're reading in between the lines, there's a lot of room for rabbinic input. That's the Chachamim in every generation are reading in between lines the way they understand. So this is really a big problem. You can have a Talmud Chacham in any given generation who has an agenda, women's lib, whatever, or a rabbinic authority. He wants to emphasize rabbinic, whatever. And he can make up whatever he wants, and he'll make a whole drasha, and he'll read in between the lines the way he wants it. This is a big problem. So it's interesting. There is a sefer that's called Dor Revi. Dor Revi is the first great-grandson, the oldest great-grandson of the Chasam Sofer. He was the oldest of the great-grandchildren. His claim to fame is he's the Dor Revi to the Chasam Sofer. That's why he called the sefer Dor Revi. His name was Moshe. He was named after the Chasam Sofer, Moshe Sofer. He was a rabbi in Hungary, and he was a big Zionist. And I think he moved there to solve the Sofer Yomov. And he has the Sefer on Chulin, that people are using the Sefer now. It became popular. So he has a long, these are the form of Drush. But the Sefer on Chulin has a long Hadadamah where he talks a lot about the Torah Shabbat Peh. So he has a very beautiful interpretation of the Medrash. The Gemara has a Medrash in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, the first daf in Avodah Zarah. And then that famous Medrash, Hashem is seen, I brought the Zarah, the Seir Loma, Afiyah Mahapar. What is the Rabban Shalom doing in Seir? What was he doing in all these Geisha places? The Gemara has a famous Medrash that Rabban Shalom offered the Torah first to the other nations of the world. So each nation turned down the Torah. We were the last ones. So he gave us the Torah. So it's very strange. And we say, Shabbat HaBanim Ka'am and Asa Lana Echai Rasai. What do you mean? We were the last ones. We were the Shlepers. First he offered it to the other nations and they turned it down. Then he says, we don't understand all the Mefarshim Esrei. Then he says, we don't understand. Why did they turn down the Torah? So they turned it down. They asked, what is it? Give us a dogma. So he said, it says like Sigzol. So this nation said, but we live on Gezol. And the Rabban Shalom told the others, it says like Sinov. He said, but we live on Niyof. And the other one, another nation, the Rabban Shalom told them, says like Sirtzach. He said, but we live on Ritzicha. So we can't accept the Torah. So the Velta asked the Kasha, what do you mean? This is from the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, Lai Sinof and Lai Sigzol. And Lai Sirtzach from the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. What do you mean? They're rejecting the Torah. If they would say we can't live up to the standards of Shabbos and Kashas and Paras and Mishpacha, these are dinim from the Torah that they didn't have before. But Lai Sirtzach and Lai Sinof, they had all along. So what are they accomplishing by rejecting the Torah? This is the Mitzvah of the Yoimet anyway. So he gives a very interesting interpretation. He says the Rabbanu Shel Olam never had a Havamina to give the Torah to the other nations. When the Rabbanu Shel Olam gives Matan Torah, what does it mean? Man Matan Torah Seinu. He's saying that. What do you mean? Matan Torah Seinu. What do you mean? He gave us the Torah. He still has the Torah. If I teach you some Chochmas, I gave it away to you. I still have it. And I share it with you. We both have it. I didn't really give it away. I'm sharing it with you. So the answer is no. After Maimon HaSinai, the Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim. All the psalms have to be made by the Rabbanim. And the Rabbanim Shalom has no right anymore to... He can rig behind the scenes the secret that the Rabbanim should paskin the way he wants, okay? He can put something into their heads that they should paskin the way he wants, fine. But he's not going to give any nevuah. There is no such thing anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Novi who gave Torah. And after Moshe Rabbeinu, no more Novi. Rambam writes, if another Novi is going to come up and tell us that he got the nevuah, didn't. Whatever, Tzumra, Abin, and Tam, whatever, so you'd be Yodua, then he's a Novi, a Sheker, there is no such thing as Loba Shmaim, and Rabban Shalom Azak, and give him a Vua, what a Psak is, and you give him a Chenek, because we know he's a Novi, a Sheker. So the... the reason why we call Maimon HaSinai Matan Torah is because the Rabban Shalom gave it to the Bnei Yisrael, now Mikam Yelach, we have to pass in the Halacha. And there's a lot of room for rabbinic input. So a person who has an agenda can put in whatever he wants. So when the Rabbanu Shel Olam was considering giving the Torah to these various nations, so the honest philosophers from the nation says, told the Rabbanu Shel Olam, it's not a smart idea. We are very involved in Znus. we're going to tzedre your Torah so much, we have such an agenda, we're going to reinterpret everything. You better not give us the Torah. Not that we can't live up to it, no. If they can't live up to violating Shevet Mitzvahs B'nech, they were honest, they told the Rebbeinu Shalom, don't give us a matan Torah, it's not a smart idea, we should be the balabatim, because we have an agenda. Then the other nation said, you better not give us the Torah, because we have an agenda of Lo Sitzach, and the other one has an agenda of Lo Sitzach, that's what it means. So the Rebbeinu Shalom could only give it to the Jewish people, we have no agenda. We have no agenda, we're interested, whatever the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, that's what we want. The Talmidei Chachamim in every generation that tried to be Mevarer, Amita Shel Torah, try to say what the Emissary Din is, without pushing their own agendas. That's how Rav Chaim Volozhin, they have a sefer that's called Chutam Shulosh. It has a collection of the tshuvas of the three Rashi Yeshiva in Volozhin. That has Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva, so the first third are his tshuvas. Then it has Ablezer Ritcher, he was the son-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and then it has Rav Hillel, also a son-in-law, I think. These are three Rashi Yeshiva. So no one looks at Ablezer Ritcher and Rav Hillel, they only look at Rav Chaim Volozhin as Jews. Rav Chaim Volozhin has a recurrent phrase that he, in the 20, 25 Jews that they have, this appears in at least 10 or 15. So he signs off the end of the Tshuva, Kel Emes, Nosam Lonotoris Emes, Adulti Alfa Emes Einen. We're always striving to figure out what the Emes is. We don't have any agenda. We're not trying to push something else. That's what the Nitziv, who was way later, Chaim Volozhin, founded the Volozhin Yeshiva in 1801. And the Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. So for the last 39 years of Volozhin Yeshiva, the Nitziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. It was a different Yeshiva. That's when Bialik was in the late years. There was all kinds of people there. In the early years, they were sitting and learning Zohar. They were sitting and learning Kabbalah. Everything was different there. The later years, they had all kinds of people were involved. Big Talmidei Chachamim, you know, Chaim Loizer learned to Volozhin. The Rangachava, all kinds of people learned to Volozhin. But all kinds of other people also learned to Volozhin. So the Nitziv was the Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin for the last 39 years. They have this, you ever see the pictures of the Nitziv, Azat Nina Zikir's face, the Tam of Atisha's face, with the Lange Pe'alach, like he's looking into the distance, like he doesn't know what's going on in this world. He ran the yeshiva with an iron hand, and they tried to depose him. There were a lot of revolutions during his tenure as the Rosh Yeshiva. He was not a direct descendant from Rav Chaim Volozhin. He married Rabitala's daughter. Rabitala's daughter. So he was a son-in-law. Rabitala's daughter, granddaughter, I forgot already. So there were others, I think, who were direct descendants, and they wanted to take over the yeshiva, and he, with his tamimus d'kafeis, he bumped everybody off, and he thought that he remained 39 years, yeshiva. 39 years he ran the yeshiva. So he had a lot of traditions he didn't know Rav Chaim Volozhin, but a lot of traditions from the earlier years. So he has, in several of his tshuvas of the Nitziv, in his Bir HaKomish, in Bir HaShir HaShem, he has this recurrent theme. There is a famous contradiction between various Gemara, there are a few Gemaras and Midrashim say one way, a few Gemaras and Midrashim say the other way. What's the status of one who learns Torah Shalom Lishma? So many times the Gemara makes a statement, it's not the highest level of learning, but it's not so bad. If you learn Shalom Lishma, you tell Shalom Lishma, Baal Lishma, Nizgefel. And there's another Gemara in Midrashim that say, Halay Metara Shalom Lishma, Nachlai, it would have been better for him, Ilanepcha Shal Yasa Alpanot, that he should have died before he was born. He should have died as an embryo. He shouldn't have been born. That's a chastira. So Rashi and Taisus and most of the Rishonim give a teret, that it depends what the Shalom Lishma is. Is the Shalom Lishma because he wants to get a job, or he wants to get a job teaching Torah, wants to get a job in Rabbanah, so he has to learn Torah. He's not really so religiously motivated, but for parnasa's sake or for covet's sake, then he's a fellow. So that's mitel Shalom Lishma, Baal Lishma. But if the reason why he's learning Torah is lekater, to show up others, I want to slug up the Shia. So I'm going to prepare very hard in order to be mevaz the rabbi. When the rabbi gives the Shia, I'm going to slug up. So if it's Lakanta, so that's terrible. That's how Rashi and Tyson say the teretz. So the Nitziv has a different teretz, and he's medayik this. He says, Halacha l'maisha like that. So he says, when you learn Basishtei Shalom Lishma, that's not so bad. But if you mechadish Shalom Lishma, that's not allowed. Because to be mechadish something, if you have an agenda, then you're not mechapis as emes. If you're learning teretz Hashem, Basishtei. Read all the Sfarim you want, Shalom Lishma, doesn't make a difference. You'll know what it says, you'll know the whole Tanakh, the whole Shas, Shulchan Aruch, all the Shas, all the Post. But you want to make a contribution, you want to be mechadesh a new shtikol Torah, you want to mechadesh a new minig, you want to mechadesh found a new shul, or found a new yeshiva. Whenever you want to be mechadesh something, either a new idea in Torah or a new institution in Judaism, so that has to be lishma, because otherwise the guy has his own agenda. This belongs to the area of Divrei Sofer where there's a lot of rabbinic input, so the rabbinic input has to be l'shem shemayim. Not going to be l'shem shemayim. It's like the Yom HaSoilam said, the way the Dor Avi said. The Yom HaSoilam, the Chachma Yom HaSoilam said, you better not give us the Torah, because we have such an idea to l'sirtzach and l'sinuch and l'signai, we're going to reinterpret everything in a way that's going to distort the whole thrust of the whole Torah. So that's what the Ritziv suggests like that, that being mechadesh, a person has to be careful that everything should be l'shma.
But if he is mechadesh by mistake, then it's not the same thing.
What do you mean by mistake? He didn't realize that was shalom?
He didn't do it for purpose.
Okay, so look, the other Chachamim will have to determine whether whether they'll accept this chiddush or not. Yeah. The Gemara speaks about the importance of saying over Divrei Torah B'Shem Amra. You always have to say over B'Shem Amra. So there is an interesting Rambam. You know, the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, so he doesn't say any names on anything. He doesn't give any marmitanis at all. You have something, Machloikis Abai V'Rava, he never tells you this is the din because of the Pasuk like Abai here. This is din because of the Pasuk like Rava, this is Rabbi Kiva Desh Mishman. Never says any names, doesn't give you the marmitanis for everything else. In fact, there's a famous letter by the Rambam. They once asked him where he got a certain din from. He has a din in Hilchos Retzeach. If a person kills b'shoigeg, and the person whom he killed didn't die right away, it took him a week till he drops dead, so the Rambam says that he's not chayv golus. So they asked the Rambam, where did he get that from? So he said he didn't remember himself, and he started to look it up. So he assumed there must be a Maseches Makis. He's writing a din of golus. So he looked through Elohein HaGoylin, and he couldn't find it. Then he said, it must be Maseches Sanhedrin. Well, you have the few Dafim Gemara about Retzeach. He looked through, he couldn't find it, so he didn't remember himself. So then it dawned upon him, finally it's in the end of Gittin. It's a Perek Nishoch Sukudai, because then he realized he's the author of this work, the Mishnah Torah. He doesn't remember where the Marmakam is. He had charata why he didn't write the Marmakam. So he didn't write, the whole Mishnah Torah didn't write the Marmakam. Makam Yinichu Menashamayim, the Rabbi Yosef Karo should write all the Marmakam in the Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah tells you where the Marmakam is. It's a Mishnah, it's a Tosefta, it's a Yerushalmi. It's whatever, Tshuvas Hagoinim. But the Rambam doesn't give you an Amarikam. So the Rambam himself in the Hagdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis raises an issue. How can I do this? There is a din, you have to be Oymer Dovah B'Shem Amar. So he says, I'm going to give you the Seder HaMasera. So he starts. This is the answer to the issue of Oymer Dovah B'Shem. So he says, I'm going to give you the Seder HaMasera. Pay attention. Moshe Kiel B'Torah Messina Mesod Yeshua. Yeshua this Canaan. Then he starts listing off 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu till Ravina Rav Ashi. Then for some strange reason or another, he goes backwards. He says, let's go review. So he goes back to Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, the generation before, we don't understand why he wrote from A to Z, from Z to A, I don't know. Then he says, now you have it. This is the Seder HaMasera, and all the dinim that we're quoting in the Pirush HaMishnayis and in the Mishnah Torah, everything is from this body of scholars. So I was yotzei the din of Oymer Dovah B'Shem Amar. How is the Yotzei the Din? So he gives you a little bit of hasbara. What I said, Mamish is Chatzah Havana. So he gives you a little hasbara, but he still doesn't explain it fully. He seems to be saying that the whole reason why you have to be Oymer Dovah B'Shem Amrei, in order to convey the message that we believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, and everything is B'Masorah. So if you're just going to say a Din, you're not going to say B'Shem Amrei. You're not going to say this is Abai, this is Rabbi Akiva, and this is Ravina Rav Ashi, so maybe you're inventing a term. So you have to say B'Shem Amra to latch it on to an Adam Godel. It's not that we have to give credit where credit is due. That's not the issue. So the Rambam seems to hold explicitly that the issue in Oymer Dovah B'Shem Amra is to convey to the student or to the listener the understanding, the correct understanding, that the din that I'm telling you is an authentic din that we received from Masorah. So the Rambam says, I was yotzei by giving you the Seder HaMasorah from Moshe till Ravina Rav Ashi, and I let you know that everything that I have to say in this Sefer is all something that one of these prominent rabbis said, or a lot of things that he has are from the Tshuvas HaGoyim, after the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. So he says, and he doesn't continue the Seder Maaser. So he says, or it's from those who based all of their ideas on the ideas that they said. So he's Yotzei Din of Ayin Madava B'Shem Ramra. It's an interesting idea that the Rambam has. Learning at all? Yeah. Maybe Gula Lolem. That's a different thing. Yeah, that's about you have to give credit where credit is due. That's a different thing. But he holds in learning Amadavid B'Shem Amre is a different idea, not based on that. That's a mili d'alma. You should give credit where credit is due. And when you say Halacha B'Shem Amre, that's an unrelated thing. That's how the Rambam assumes. Yeah. So apparently that's a mili d'alma is a separate din, and this is a separate din. That's what he seems to hold. So this idea that there is rabbinic input, and the input has to be not with a personal agenda, and has to be kelemes nasalana teresem, it's built elemes einenu, it's trying to figure out exactly what did the Rabbanu Shalom tell us, what is the Torah, and it's ayin madava b'shem mama means we don't have to specifically say the name of the Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Abai, Rabbi, it does make a difference. We just want everybody to realize, to recognize that this is part of the Masorah. So the we assume that there's a concept of Soda Hashem Nireyav. The Gemara has in several places that why are the Piske Halacha of the Chachamim binding? Because we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a divine assistance to the Talmid HaChachamim in every generation that they should task him properly. Soda Hashem Nireyav. It's all, of course, on the assumption that the Talmid Chacham is the Yirei Shamayim. You can have sometimes the Talmid Chacham is not a Yirei Shamayim, so the Pasuk doesn't promise anything in such a case. So that Hashem Nireyav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, behind the scenes, give him the right idea to pass him properly. Some people think that this is a contradiction to the principle of Lo Bashamayim. I don't think so. Lo Bashamayim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give a Navi, an outright Nevuah, what the din is. But behind the scenes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does guide us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all B'chira Chavshis, but with restrictions. We don't have B'chira Chavshis to do whatever we please. Everyone is limited. So the Talmid HaChamim who Paskim Shaivas, if they are Yirei Shamayim, so they have this promise, Sod HaShem Nireyav, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will restrict their Bechira Chavshin, say, well, they won't choose to say Akrum Mesvara. They won't choose to say something that's going to be wild. We assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them a divine assistance to restrict their thinking process, that they should come up with the right answer. So there is, we assume, in other words, that there's a Maimon Hasina, an ongoing Maimon Hasina. Just like on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the Jewish people and to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he gave him over the dinim, so in every generation HaKadosh Baruch Hu also continues to reveal himself in the Chidush Torah in every generation. So there is we know that there was one time Elisha ben Avuya, who learned a lot of Torah, and then he was yoked to the Tarbis Roh. And the Gemara says that the other Tanoim felt that you're not allowed to learn by him, because you're only permitted to learn by a Rebbe. Kisipsa the Novi says, Kisipsa Chan Yishmo Das Vatari Rakshim Epiu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokasu. If the Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem, if the Rebbe is done on the Malach Hashem Tzvokasu, Yibakshim Torah Mepiu, Vi Ma Va Yibakshim. If the Rebbe is not a Medaktik and Mitzvah, he's not a Tzadik, so he's not allowed to listen to his Shia. And Reb Meir was the only one who learned by him, and the other Tanaim said, you're not allowed to. Reb Meir said that I already know how to learn, I'm old enough, I'm mature enough, I know how to learn, I'm not going to fall in. It's like he found a Rimon, Tocha Ochal, a Kliposa Zorak. He's going to eat the fruit of the Rimon, he's going to throw the shell on the outside. So I know what to accept from Elisha ben Avuya, what not to accept. And the Gemara says, and even Rav Meir didn't allow younger Talmidim to learn by Elisha ben Avuya. He held that he was mature enough. The Shach writes in Yerideya that the later person don't quote this Gemara because they all have his manners that we don't have anyone on the Madrega like Rav Meir. We'll be able to be careful enough. So we assume that no one is allowed to learn by one who is not a Yirei Shamayim. So the Gemara said the Tesis in Chagiga. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Chagiga has discussions about Elisha ben Avuya. I remember many years ago, the Rebbe used to give Yahrzeit drushes. For a few years in a row, he gave a series of two or three drushes. He spoke a lot about Elisha ben Avuya. So I had a lot to say in the Chelek HaGadol. So there's a Tesis in Chagiga, in the second paragraph, the Tesis quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, what went wrong with Elisha ben Avuya? How come he turned out that he was yoked to the Tarbis Roh? So they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi that by his bris, his father Avuya invited all of the Tanoim, all the Chachmi Yerushalayim, and the Balabatim were eating and singing and dancing in one room, and the Rabbanu was sitting and talking and learning in the other room. So when they were talking and learning, so fire came down from heaven, just like at Maimon Hasina there was a divine fire. So the father of the baby, Avuya, walked in and he started to scream at the Rabbanim. He thought that they were smoking and they're making a fire, they're burning down the whole house. So he started to scream that they're negligent. What they do? There's a fire here. Well, what are you doing? So they said, calm down. Whenever we talk and learning, the fire always comes down from heaven. Just like in Maimon Hasina, there was Kodesh Brochim, there was an Eish HaGdolah. So the father saw, and he said that this is a fire that doesn't consume. It just gives illumination and it doesn't consume. Like a snap, it's a fire that gives illumination and it doesn't consume. So he saw, hey Taka, that's what's happening. So he said, that's a good stunt. I'm going to raise my child to become a Talmid Chacham. He should also bring down the fire from heaven. So then, because the chinuch of the father was Shalom Lishma, learning Shalom Lishma is not so bad. He told Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. But to set up a chinuch on your child, there are people who do that. There are. Okay. So you see from this, Yerushalmi, even though it's not Lekanter, there are fathers who only pressure their sons incorrectly, that the son should know everything by heart to be the best student in the class. And he should be able to ask the best kashas and stump the Rebbe and do everything, you know, to be the smartest. So usually it fails. Usually it fails. If the whole chinuch is set up Shalom Lishma, usually it's going to backfire. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, because the father's whole goal in training his child and being mechanech the child was all Shalom Lishma, so that's why it turned out that he was Yotzei the Tarbusro. But it's interesting, this concept that the Tanoim said, whenever we talk and learning, it's like a continued Maimon HaSinai. It's Torah Hashem Lirei. The Rebbe Shalom continues to reveal his Torah like at HaSinai. He revealed the Torah to the Jewish people, Mitoch HaEish. So he continues to reveal Mitoch HaEish. And this concept of Torah Hashem Lirei, that the Gemara has in several places, that's why a Pesach Halacha of a Talmid Chacham is binding, because we assume that he's not making a mistake. We assume that he was given a divine assistance to be mechaber l'amitah shel Torah. Right? Same thing. That the Rebbe Shel Olam has to be present to help them out, not to make a mistake. That's already a further explanation. Okay. But the basic part of the Ramban says, Alekim Nitzah Ba'adas Kiel, that the Shechina promises they'll always be there. If you have honest to goodness, Talmid Chachamim constituting a bezin, so the Shechina will be there to help the Rabbanim that they shouldn't make a mistake in Pesach. Right, the Gemara says that bezin, the members of the bezin have to have atifa out of respect for the Shechina. That's there. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Masech HaShabbos. So that's interesting. The Gemara says in the many disputes between the Bisham and the Beisilu, we usually pass them like the Beisilu. So the Gemara says, first of all, because they were the majority, Ahram Nahatis. And secondly, the Gemara says, because they were more humble than the Beishama. It doesn't mean that the Beishama were arrogant and they were humble. It means the Beishila were extremely humble. So because they're more humble, therefore the Zeicha that the Pesach Halacha should be like them. So you give them a character award. You give them a prize that they're very humble. You give them the humility award. Why do they win that the Pesach Halacha is like them? So the answer is, the more humble a person is, the less agenda he's pushing in to his divrei tzadik. You're relying on this Talmid Chacham to issue an original psak, to invent the din derabbanan, to discover what the din derayis is, to read in between the lines. So obviously, we're talking about an issue that's not explicit. So it's an area of divrei tzadik when there's a lot of input. So you want that the person who's giving the psak should be most humble, in order that he shouldn't push any agenda. So this promise of Soed Hashem Yireyov only applies, first of all, if the person is a Yirei Shamayim. So then the Rebbe Shalom will do this miracle, he'll give this divine assistance. And secondly, it has to be a humble person. If you ask a person who's arrogant, he won't necessarily always be able to be Mechaven Olam, because he has his own agenda that he's interested in pushing.
And what in Shabbos, that court, that the Shammai were arrogant and the Hillel was humble, with the two Gerim.
I don't know that it means that Shammai was arrogant.
That's what he says. The Gemara says it better.
I don't think so. The Gemara says that Hillel was extremely humble. That even though the Meshugane came on Erev Shabbos, the Gangan, the Yoram,
yeah. He
calls him up with a Shaila at 2 o'clock in the middle of the night. And so Hillel said, what can I do for you? Instead of saying, Meshugane, what are you calling 2 o'clock at night? What are you coming Erev Shabbos? I'm taking a shower now. He comes into the shower. I'm taking a shower now. What are you bothering me? He's in his underwear. He has no clothes on.
But the Gemara of the conclusion says that because of them, because of Hillel, they did reach to Olmas Shemayim, whereas from Shammai they wouldn't have.
Right, because Hillel was
so,
an unusual...
So they want to say that we should be like Hillel, not like Shammai.
An unusual Amazon. Amazon means unusually humble. Unusually humble.
Yeah.
Shammai was normal. He wasn't unusually humble. He was a normal person. Hillel went out of his way to be extremely humble, right? A lot of times when people learn Talmidim and Yeshivas about them learn, that they have a sense that they don't really understand fully what they're learning. So very often this is the case, that they don't fully understand. So there is an interesting comment that the Sefer Hasidim makes. He says that if a person attends a shiur in learning and he doesn't fully understand, so we have a promise, we have a haftacha, that when the person goes to the Olam HaEmes and he'll be sitting in the Mesifta Derikia, the Gemara assumes that there's a Yeshiva Shalmaila, there's a Mesifta Derikia, that the Neshamas participate in learning after they die. So whatever the person tried to understand, he didn't understand Olam HaZeh, so the Olam HaNeshamas and the Mesifta Derikia, he'll be Zeicha to understand. So the mocker that everybody quotes is the Sefer Hasidim. How does the Sefer Hasidim know that it's so? The truth of the matter, he doesn't tell you, but it's a Gemara Chagiga, and the second Gemara makes such a statement based on a Pasuk and Novi, that whatever person tries to understand, doesn't fully understand, he will be Zeicha in the Olam HaEmes and the Mesifta Derikia to understand. A lot of times Talmidim and Yeshivas at Balabatim, when they attend the Shir, they walk away with an empty feeling. They feel they don't fully understand, because in the Shia there's always some person who asks a murderous kasha, and everybody says, hey, he really understood, he has such a good kasha. Or when they're discussing a kasha, so some genius says a gevaldige teretz, so no one else thought of the teretz, so all the others have a chalishas hadas. This family asked a gevaldige kasha, he had a gevaldige teretz, so he's the one who's really matzliach in learning. Truth of the matter, or let's say Rabbi Kiveger, usually in the yeshivas, they always say, Rabbi Kiveg on the side of the Gemara, and the Gil Yerashat Spoken has a kasha, and he says, Hashem Yoreinai, the Rabbanu Shlom should enlighten me, I should figure out the teretz. That's like a challenge. A bochan yeshiva, a person learning in a koilo, if he can say a teretz, that Rabbi Kiveg says, Hashem Yoreinai, that's givaldic. So the others have a chalisha sadas. He knows what the Rabbanu Shlom knows, Hashem Yoreinai, and the others don't have this. So the Stipler points out, Stipler has a whole essay in Chaye Yolom. It's safer on Hashkof, and he has a whole section about Limanat Teretz. So he points out, and others point out as well. This is one chelik of Hatzlocher in Liman HaTorah. To be able to ask snazzy kashas and to be able to give fancy terutzim. The main chelik of learning Torah is to know what's a shtey. To know what's the din. In this case, are you chay or are you potter? Is it awesome or is it mutter? Abai says it's awesome, Rava says it's mutter. And how do we paskin? We paskin like Rava. Or this is one of the six cases that we paskin like Abai. And then exactly what does it mean that the halacha is like Abaya, the halacha is like Rabba? What's the thing is up there? Rashi said like that, and Shai said like that, Shai. So if a person knows how to say over what the case is, and what the psak is, and what the din, he doesn't have to understand fully why the din has to be so. If he says over the din straight, so that's already considered a hatzlocha learning. This is an unusual degree of hatzlocha learning. There are many people who can only ask the good kashas, they can only give the snazi to it, they can't tell you over what it said in the Gemara. They don't pay attention to the text. They're not interested in hearing the whole background, to hear what's the source in Chumash. Are you talking about a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbana? What is it based on? What does Rav Meir say? What does Rav Yehuda say? How did Rashi learn? How did Tosfos learn? What is it saying Shulchan Aruch? A lot of people not interested. The main thing in learning is to know what the din is in the Gemara, what the maskon is, to learn Lasukhi Shmaitze, Aliba de Hilchus. When we used to learn in the yeshiva, so the Bracham would always ask, so how do we pass the halacha in this case? Remember, Rabbi Gerelich would always say, "Ruf up the agudas harabbanan." You know, that's for rabbanim to pass him. Yeah, but that's not right. He was that was the yeshivish shtick. Ruf up the agudas harabbanan. That's not. No, the highest level of learning is lasukish ma'itzalim b'deilchusah. He learned the whole daf gemara. You see, Abai said like this, Rabbi said like this, and we know he passed like Abai or Rabbi, that we know. But then what did he say? The Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokes. So what's the bottom line? So that's what the Bachur is. What's the bottom line? So you don't say Ruf up the Agudas Rabban. You have to tell him. It says in Shulchan Aruch like this. And that's the Psak. Or you say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah says we shouldn't follow like that. That's the highest level of learning. That's not the lowest level of learning. Some people have this attitude. You only learn Shulchan Aruch when you want to go into Rabbanis. You're not interested in going to Rabbanis, just learn Gemara with Rishonim. That's not right. The highest level of learning Gemara with Rishonim is to learn Lasukish Maitz and Lubi Vilchusa. It's a misunderstanding. People think that the ikar of learning, the peak of learning, that's because in the yeshivas they place so much emphasis on chidushei Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva have to produce chidushei Torah. That they train the Talmidim to say sharper kashas, to say sharper terutim, even if the kashas are not ois galfim, terutim are not ois galfim, they're training them. A lot of that is really not correct. The most important hatzloch in learning is the person should know. Like the Rambam has the introduction to the Mishnah Torah is the Sefer HaMitzvot. So he lists off which are the 613 mitzvahs, and then he gives you b'kitzer. In the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, he gives you in three pages the brief version of the 613 mitzvahs, then he gives you the whole Mishnah Torah. So he says a section, Hilchos Shabbos. In this section we're going to cover the following 23 mitzvahs. And then he says Hilchos Machlokos Asuras, we're going to cover the following 25 mitzvahs. And then every section in the Rambam, he explains which mitzvahs we just covered. And at the end of the whole Mishnah Torah, he has explained the whole 613 mitzvahs. That's the whole Ikar mitzvah of Lima HaTorah. The Pasuk in Chumash says, how does it say? Ushmartim is kol mitzvah sai ba'asisa ma'isam. Or the Lashon says, the Lashon in the Chumash says, he's supposed to learn all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. You have to know which are the 613 mitzvahs, and what are the details of all of the mitzvahs. So the main Indian of learning Torah is to know what are the mitzvahs Hashiyasa Osam Adam V'chaybahem. How are you supposed to be an observant Jew? The asking the fancy kashas and the giving the fancy terutzim, that's one area of Hatzloch and learning. But the main Hatzloch and learning is to know what the dinim are. So even if a person doesn't fully understand the whole ins and the outs, the Gemara says that the Gemara has an Adarim, and Daflam it says. The Gemara says the Torah originally was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was never intended to be given to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was very kind-hearted, so he gave it over to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? It says the Feresh and the Chumash, that the Baruch Shalom gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, commanded him to tell it to Bnei Yisrael. 25 times it says that. Moshe says, no, we're talking about Tov Pula Shal Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to tell Bnei Yisrael, Akit to Shulchan Aruch. The din is like this, the din is like that, also Musa Fartik. The Tov Pula Shal Torah, how to read in between the lines and how to derive it, and to figure out that this is like this, and to be Madame Milsom and Milsa, they had to come to a psak, a sukish maitre, they had to be Mechadish dinim, that was originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu, he should give it over to his descendants. So he decided, why should he hoard all of this knowledge for himself? He decided to give, in his kindness, he shared it with everybody else. That's what the Gemara calls Pulpula Shel Torah. Originally, Pulpula Shel Torah was only given to Moshe Lizara. So we in the yeshivas, for so many years, have been emphasizing so much the Pula Shel Torah, so we give the Talmidim, and even after they grow up to become adults, they walk away with this mistaken impression that the main Iker part of learning is the Pula Shel Torah, which is not really so. The main part of learning is the Mechadish, something that'll be Torah, sorry, Torah delay. But not that he should sit with a pen from Meikoroi, he's planning to be Mechadish. He wants to be kind of, he should be Egin at Torah. First, you have to plan to learn Torah Hashem. If Min HaShemayim, they'll be Mezakeh, the person with the Chiddush, he'll have an insight, fine, that'll be. He was learning Torah Lishma, and Yogaiti Matosi, after the Yigiyah, then he has a Metziah. But not that he should be out to be Mechadish something. That's not the main thing in learning.
But it says one of the six things they ask the person after he dies is whether he was...
Till Palta B'Chachma. The Palta B'Chachma means that you work hard. It doesn't necessarily mean for you... when you're trying to figure out new deen, because that's not really the main part of learning Torah. That was only intended to be for Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not the ikar of learning. Okay. Shabbat Hatzloch on Shavuos and every Shavuos. Be matzliach in learning.
This is our last shiur for the season, and we have a ticket after the expiry.
Many shul that work the practice.
Mm-hmm.